Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to thank you all for coming back out. This is Babylon Saga. I go by the name of Ye. That's Yahweh Supreme, in case you didn't know. I'd like to take you through the experience of my office. You know, Babylon is like that land that we're going to leave one day. Some of us going to get promoted. Some going to be fired. Everybody going to be happy. Come on,
check it.
Well, let me reintroduce you to this lion straight from Judah. One of the 12 tribes, all gather, all rise as we gather around the water coolers as we discuss our exodus. And all the things that Egypt still doing to us, and Jacob still say it's the land of the beautiful. Been here over 20 years, no knowledge for me to grow. This harsh fools, the kids crying. And every time I look in the paper, all I see is Babylon keeps on downsizing. Man, I found a new gig, new strategy. Sure to have all my co-workers getting mad at me. Found wisdom, knowledge, and integrity. Try to get my people ever, all they do is laugh at me. They just blew lamb, getting led to the slaughter while the wicked stay hungry, stay placing their orders. Gotta leave the job before it sets on fire, cause we got weed prior to be my desire. So, my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see.
They don't really know about
new cars, new frames, no doubt. I'm watching chains, but
they don't really know.
Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the land of idolatry, wickedness and queers. In 2 weeks, you notice that I ain't here. They try to convince me and say that the job I get is better, whatever. My king provides for me through any endeavors. I took my stony heart and exchanged it for meekness. So everybody try to take one kindness for weakness. They feel convoying, saying you ain't gonna do that. Give him a couple months and he'll be right back. But I don't argue with no fool, keep my demeanor strictly cool. Maybe you'll understand if you just follow by the rules. Insubordination, the reason you stuck in the same station. So praise the mighty Yah, watch your wicked star decaying. But it's coming from me, so you know they gon' ignore it. Ignore it, it doesn't matter what day they'll meet my applause. Because my hat, my clothes, my dough, they know, but so see.
They don't really know about Yah.
New cars, new frames, no belt, home watch and chain. But
they don't really know about
Yah. Who's this, who's that, what's that, still crap, who raps, but
they don't really know.
Come on, man. Say,
they don't really know about God.
Hear what y'all talking about, man. I'm gonna sing this all day, all night. Gonna march out of Babylon saying,
they don't really know about God.
To the east, to the east, say,
they don't really know about God.
To the west, say,
they don't really know about God.
To the north, say,
they don't really know about
God. To the south, say,
they don't really know about God.
Come on, Christians, Christians, say, they don't really know about
Shalom, shalom. Giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel. It is a great blessing to be able to give praises to the Most High and the little sanctuary that He has set for His people. My name is Moray Obadiah Israel of the House of Israel, located in 1907 Vine Street. And I'm standing in for the Elder Moray here at the House of Israel, Moray Ishaya Israel. And this is nothing but the truth. And we're giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. Now, who is Yah? Well, Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the savior and the redeemer of not only Israel, but of the entire world. And Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our judge. And Yahweh is our king. And he alone will save us. So we give all honor, glory, and praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. And let me say shalom to all of our family that are listening via the internet, whether it be Facebook or YouTube and Blog Talk. For we know that the only reason why you are in is because of your fear and your love towards Yahweh, our Elohim. And what will we be discussing this evening? We will be discussing the habitation of Israel, because undoubtedly most Israelites and most of the world are under the erroneous impression that this earth, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is were created just by chance, just by cause, just because for no particular reason. And now we dwell in it, and now we roam through it, and now we have absolutely no sense of purpose for existence. And now we have been scattered into the hands, into the isles of captivity. And now we are up under the rulership of these heathens. We are under the rulership of an enemy. And they have told us many perverse things. And we have learned many perverse things. And now we are seeking after things that is not of the Most High, that is not holy. And it is the Most High and the Most High only that have commanded his people to be holy. Yahweh said that we are to be holy because our Elohim is holy. So everything that we do, in every way that we move, it should be on the inspiration and the acknowledgement and the counsel of Yahweh. That's the only way that we can move in righteousness. That's the only way that we can move in meekness. That's the only way that we can move in truth. But undoubtedly, throughout the world today, we have been taught another book. We have been taught to go another way. And now what we have learned is to be perverse. What we have learned is to seek after trying to be underneath our oppressors. Now we have learned to try to be ruled over by our oppressors. So we put no consideration into where we dwell. We put no consideration into where we habitate. And this is just totally out of order. This is out of the ordinances of Yahweh our Creator. And this is not what Yahweh has ordained for his people. Even though Yahweh said that he has scattered us throughout the four corners of the earth, this is not for us to just turn up. This is for us to consider that we are in captivity and that we must return unto our Creator. But today, we've been taught a whole other set of rules, a whole different set of values. So now it's not about trying to look for a specific thing that pleases Yah. Now all we are interested in is the aesthetics. I just want a beautiful house. I just want some beautiful cars. I want a lot of money in my bank account. I want my closet draped with all type of garments and fabrics. I want all type of shoes in my closet. I want to be draped down with all type of gold, silver, diamonds, apparel. I just want to be decked out. And I just want to live in the creme de la creme of neighborhoods. But I'm not concerned with one thing that our forefathers are concerned with. And Yahweh said that look unto the rock from which you are hewn, and look to the hole of the pit for which you are digged. And Yahweh commanded us to look unto Abraham. Now, why is it imperative to look unto Abraham? Why is it imperative to look at one of the patriarchs of the Holy Scriptures? Well, we're about to read why it's imperative. Because everywhere that Abraham went, every place that he sought out, and all the company that he kept, he always was mindful of the Most High. He was always mindful of Yahweh. And this is how Yahweh had confidence in Abraham and knowing that he would command his household. But how do I know this? And why did Yahweh use this man as one of our patriarchs? Why did he use this man as one of the shining examples? Well, let's take a look and see. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 20th chapter. And in the book of Genesis, the 20th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 5th verse in Genesis 20:5. And this is when Abraham and Sarah had came into the land of King Abimelech. And when he came into the land, he told Sarah, just like he told her when they sojourned in other lands, he said, look, tell them that you are my sister. For if they find out that you are my wife, they will surely kill me over you. So just tell them you're my sister. And Sarah hearkened. And this is what happened when they came into the land of King Abimelech. In verse 5, it reads. Well, I'm going to start at verse 4. No, I'm going to start at verse 3. No, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, and Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But Elohim came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her and had said, master, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? And he said unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I not done this. Or have I done this? And Elohim said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when Elohim caused me to wander from my father's house, then I said unto her, this is my kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servant and women servant and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver, and behold, he is to thee covering of the eyes unto all that are unto thee, or with thee, and with all others. Thus was she approached, reproved. And Abraham prayed unto Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservant. They bare children. For Yahweh had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. See why this is so vital is because the reason why this came into fruition and the reason why Abraham purposed this to Sarah is because in verse 11, he said, because I thought, surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place. Therefore, will they slay me for my wife's sake? But here in captivity, that's the last thing that we are considering. We'll live in any neighborhood, and we'll be in the midst of just outright oppressors, but all because the aesthetics look good. The houses look good. Oh, man, they have an excellent infrastructure. They got good schools, and they got this and that, and there's plenty of places for jobs. And yes, that's all fine and dandy. The first place, the first thing that we should be considering, man, is the fear of Elohim in this place. Who am I living next to? Who am I rubbing shoulders with? Who am I going to be staying next to? Who am I going to be breaking bread with? And if I feel like there's some unsavoriness, if I feel like there's no fear here, now my life is in imminent danger because anything that they desire, they'll violently take. And this is what Abraham considered everywhere he sojourned. This is why he told his wife this, and she went alone. Because he just said, look, everywhere we go, surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place. And this is where we need to be. This is what we need to consider today. Because there's far too much rebelliousness that's being taught. There's far too much resistance being taught. Now you have people saying that you can't keep the Sabbath day. Now you have people saying that you can't pay tithes and offerings. And these subjects are not being brought up because Brother Obadiah is looking for tithe monies to be in his pocket. I don't pocket nothing. That's holy unto Yahweh. I don't profit none from that. And neither do my other brothers profit from that. Well, what we do is how we profit from it is by keeping and confirming the words of Yahweh. This is how we profit and benefit from it, by doing what Yahweh commands us to do. Because why? Because it's considerate. And it's considering because we know in the land from whence we dwell and the people that we around, surely the fear of Elohim is not in this place. So what we pray for is Yahweh to extend his mercy unto us, extend his righteousness upon his people. And this is something that we have to be mindful of. You don't keep the law just to say you do it. It's the protection from Yahweh that we seek and that we look after, because it's only Yahweh that protects us in the first place. But this is something that our forefather considered. And he said, look, this is such a statue that he taught this same thing to his son. If you turn with me to Genesis, the 13th chapter. And just speaking on why we need to consider this. Because why is it important that we look unto Abraham? Because Abraham understood something. Yahweh established something through Abraham. Because Abraham was ever mindful of something. In the book of Genesis, the 13th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 7th verse. In Genesis 13 and 7, it reads, and this is when Abraham and Lot, they had men. They had increased so abundantly that there was strife that was happening between Abraham and Lot. And look at the wisdom that Yahweh gave to Abram. And in verse 7, it reads, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Well, then separate thyself, I pray you, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before Yahweh destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah even as the garden of Yahweh, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Yahweh exceedingly. See, Abraham knew this. Abram knew. He said, look, we have to just cease from strife because we family. We people. There's no need for strife. Look, if you choose the left, then I'll go right. And if you choose the right, then I'll go left. Because he knew who his habitation was. He knew his habitation was not just a house, not just a building, not just apartments, not for aesthetics. His habitation was Yahweh. And that's who he was always seeking. And he knew as long as Yahweh was with him, he was fine. No matter where, if Yahweh was with him, he was in a great place. So it don't matter if the land that he stayed was just regular looking, because that's undoubtedly what Lot looked on. And that's undoubtedly what most of us are looking upon. He looked at the land and seen that it was beautiful. And that's what most of us do. Look upon the land and see that it's beautiful. See that it's gorgeous. It flowed with water. All types of things. Well, little did he know, they were committing wickedness there exceedingly before Yah. And he went into the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had to plead for his family so he could be reserved. But this is what we must consider, that our habitation is not just a house. It's not just an apartment. Our habitation is Yahweh. And as we further go on, we're going to see how Yahweh is our habitations. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter. Because it doesn't matter how good the land is treating you. It doesn't matter how beautiful the land is. It doesn't matter how upheld you are in the eyes of the people. When we take our eyes off of the Most High, then we have taken our eyes off of the complete mission. And if we've turned our backs on the Most High, it don't matter where we habitate. It don't matter how beautiful the neighborhood is. It doesn't matter how financially affluent it is. None of that matters if Yahweh is not with us. And the patriarchs, they knew this. They knew these. The righteous knows this. And they know this in life. And even in death, they know this. In the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, I'm going to read the 24th verse. In Genesis 50, verse 24 reads, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and Elohim will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Yes, this is what Joseph knew. He said, look, I know that I've been second to Pharaoh, and I know the only one in the entire land that has more power than me is the Pharaoh himself. But all of this have been happening by the hands of Yah. So when I die, just don't leave my bones in Egypt. When you leave, you take me with you, because I know what the children of Israel is going to exit from Egypt. And I know where they're going. They're going to habitate with Yahweh. And don't leave my bones here, them with you. Because Joseph had vision. And this is what all habitation is important for. It's having vision. And it's not for the now. Because as the scriptures say, better is the end of the matter than the beginning. You rather live in a mansion with cars all in the driveway, with pools of, with all type of fountains springing up out of the ground, but it's in captivity. So when captivity falls, so does your dream house. So does your fantasy backyard. So does all of your luxurious cars. So does your bank account. See, you have to look at the end of the matter. And at the end of the matter, Yahweh has brought salvation to his people. And Yahweh's salvation is to have his people habitate with him, be with him, be brought unto him. And this is what our servitude is for. This is what our confirmation of his laws and testimonies are for. This is why we try to seek righteousness and seek meekness so that we may be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. And where are we going to be hid? We're going to be hid in one of the creations of Yahweh by Yahweh. Our habitations is not just a house or an apartment or a car, or even if you're sleeping on the streets. Your habitation is always with your Elohim. And the moment we forget this, or the moment that we have forgotten this, we have taken our eyes off of a major priority. And that's our servitude and our dedication to the Most High. And this is what we must return back to. This is what we must be seeking after. This is what we must be trying to aim to be in, to dwell with the true and living Elohim. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter. Because undoubtedly, Abraham knew this. Yosef knew this. And let's keep reading. In the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 21st verse. And it says this: And Yahweh said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart. Then he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I said unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. What did Yahweh say? Let my son go so that he may serve me. Yahweh didn't say, let my son go so I can sacrifice him for the sins of the world. Let my son go so I can teach them about my only begotten son, Christ. Yahweh didn't say nothing about this. Yahweh said, let my son go so that he may serve me. Just like a parent who may find out their child is in prison. You're going to get your child so that they can return unto you. So that their servitude will not be to the prison, but will be to their Abba or their Ema. And our Abba said, let us go so that we may serve him. So that our servitude will be to him. So that we'll know that our true habitation is with Yahweh. And it doesn't matter whether it was in the land of Egypt, in the land of the king of Abimelech, or whether we ended up dwelling in the land of Canaan. Our habitation is Yahweh. And our habitation is with the true and living creator. And this is what Yahweh has been trying to get us to see. As Moray and Shia brought out last night, we tempted Yahweh 10 times in the wilderness. We complain for everything. We want water. We want food. When the Egyptians was riding upon us, we started murmuring and complaining. We just were complaining and we were murmuring the whole time in Egypt. Yes, the wilderness was a desert. Yes, the wilderness was not desirable. Yes, the wilderness was a place that we was eventually were going to come, supposed to come out of as a whole nation. But what we missed and what we shouldn't miss on the Exodus coming out this time is that instead of worrying about the aesthetics of where we are, the destination is on where we should be. And our habitation should be with our Elohim. Because the whole time that we was murmuring against the Most High, the whole time we was murmuring that we were thirsty, the whole time we were murmuring that we were hungry, the whole time that we was murmuring about the manna, or about nations rising up against us, little did we realize Yahweh was with us there the whole time. The whole entire time, Yahweh was there with us. He dwelt with us by a pillar of fire by He dwelt with us with a pillar of a cloud by day and by a pillar of a fire by night. Yahweh was encamped over us the entire time. And when the clouds move, that's when we move. But when the clouds stood still, we were still. Why? Because our habitation is Yahweh. That's our habitation. That is our dwellings. That is where we are. That's the destination of where we should go. Because let me tell you, if our habitation is not Yahweh, it doesn't matter whether you make it into the land of Canaan. Because even if you make it to the land of Canaan, you'll be cast right out. Or you'll go the way that all men go. Yahweh said, look, I delight in my people so much. I delight in my people so much that those that remain in the land, Yahweh said that they're going to live forever. That's how much Yahweh loves his people. That's how much Yahweh adores his people. But do we adore the Creator this way? Is our destination to dwell with the Creator? Or do we just look and see captivity? Do we just see the surface and just say, well, look, since we're in captivity, we got a green light to act the fool. We don't have to keep none of Yah's laws. We don't have to keep the Shabbat. We don't got to pay what belongs unto Yah. We don't got to do nothing. We can keep all the increase and do what we want to do on Yah's rest day. But then when the calamity and the travail come upon us, now we want to be saved. Now we want to be blessed. Now we want to be hid. Now we want to habitate with Yahweh. When Yahweh's been telling us this whole time, how do you know you've been in captivity? How do you know you've been oppressed? How do you know you've been the tail and not the head? Because your Elohim told you this, because Yahweh has been with us this entire time. How else you think heaven and earth can record our actions if Yahweh's not in the midst, if Yahweh's not with us? This is why we just got to create within us a new heart and break away this heart of stone and create a heart of flesh, so that maybe our eyes can be enlightened and open and see that, man, it doesn't matter what address. It doesn't matter where we at. That our habitation is with our Elohim. That's our true destination on where we should be. And until we realize this, we'll continue to be in the abyss of darkness. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. And what are we discussing this evening? We are discussing Israel's habitation. And you may think that your habitation is wherever you're at. You may think that your habitation is downtown. Your habitation is Westwood. Your habitation is English Woods, Norwood, Hyde Park. You may think that your habitation is only when you get into the land of Canaan. No, our dwellings, our habitations is wherever Yahweh is. Because our dwellings and our habitation is to be with our Elohim. And this is what Yahweh is trying to get his people to see. Just like when he had our people go into the land and spy out the land. It was a 40-day search. And Yahweh said, look, go into the land that is filled with milk and honey. It is fertile. It is prosperous. Go into the land and spy it out. And look at what reports that came back. In the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. No, in Numbers, the 13th chapter. I'm going to begin reading at the 26th verse. In Numbers 13 and 26, it reads, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, why did Caleb have this confidence? Because he knew Yahweh was with him. He knew that Yahweh was with him. Yahweh was the one that told him to go spy out the land. Yahweh was the one that told him the fruitfulness of the land. So you think Yahweh didn't know about the Amalekites being there? The children of the Anak being there? The Canaanites? Yahweh knew all this. Yahweh said, look, don't worry about that. You go spy out the land. You go see the fruitfulness of it, and you go tell the people that every word of Elohim is pure, and that the land is as fruitful and as beautiful as Yahweh has told us. And the land and the nations that's in the land will be nothing but ashes under our feet. They will be nothing but bread. But instead, we came into the land, and we saw the land, and we confirmed that it was fruitful. But then we got faint-hearted. And then we start talking about we was like grasshoppers in their sights. Look at the great nations. What nation can stand up against Yahweh? This is what happened when we don't know that Yahweh is our habitation. What nation can stand up against Yahweh? And this is what Yahweh is showing to his people even to this day. People are running around talking about the government shutdown. People can't that go to work trying to make an honest day's pay for an honest day's work, not getting paid. Now it's trickling down to the food stamps. And now people saying, well, what you going to do when this happens? And what you going to do when that happens? What we going to do is we going to focus on our habitations. We're going to focus on Yah. If you seeking righteousness, if you seeking meekness, if you seeking to be here in the day of Yahweh's anger, this is what you're seeking. But if you're not seeking this, and if this is not what you're going after, and if Yahweh is not your habitations, then when captivity falls, then you fall with it. When captivity panics, now you panic. Captivity is on shutdown mode, now you're on shutdown mode, because now you're on captivity time. Instead of really focusing on your true habitations, Israel's habitation is not Cincinnati, Ohio. Israel's habitation is not Mississippi, not Atlanta, Georgia, not Florida. Israel's habitation is Yahweh. That's the only way that we prosper today. That's the only reason why we are alive to this day. And that's the only reason why we are hid from the calamities that have fallen upon most of our people that don't know that Yahweh is their habitation. This is what we must be seeking after. This is our goal, my people. To realize that it's bigger than just a building. It's bigger than just the land. Our habitation is with Yahweh. So when someone tells you, you can't keep the Sabbath day. Why? Because you're not in your land. Well, my habitation is Yahweh. And my Elohim rest, so I'm a rest. Man, you can't pay tithes because that's only grains. That's only cattle. Man, you can't pay that. Yahweh didn't ask for no money. Yahweh said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there may be meat in my house. You're not worried about the people that's collected it because Yahweh is your habitation. Yahweh is your judge. Yahweh is your lawgiver. And Yahweh is your king. And we alone have to answer to him and him alone because Yahweh is our habitation. And if we don't get that, and if we don't follow this, then we will continually be ensnared by the isles of captivity, by the hands of captivity. We will continually be in his grasp until we are destroyed. The patriarchs of Yahweh knew this. You think that Noah will build the ship and he not know that Yahweh is his habitation? Yahweh came and told this man that he was going to flood the entire earth with a flood. Now, I know I'm going to say it with Yahweh. If you're going to flood the entire earth, how in the world is me and my family going to be able to survive? But when you know that Yahweh is your habitation, you don't have to ask that, because you know that there's nothing that's too hard for Yah. You know that there's nothing that's impossible for the true and living Elohim. Nothing is too hard, and nothing is impossible for the true and living Elohim. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter. Because Israel, for what are we discussing this evening? The habitation of Israel. And it's with our Elohim. Because for far too long, we have lightly esteemed the Most High. For far too long, we have turned our back from the Most High. And for far too long, we've been following after the ways of the heathens. So now we think that we have to go by their way. We think that we have to follow their doctrine. We think that we have to go in their ways to be prosperous. But in actuality, Yahweh said, look, you my people, in whom I will be glorified. And Yahweh said this in the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 36th verse. In Leviticus 26 and 32, excuse me, I'm going to start at the 32nd verse. And it reads, and I will bring the land into desolation. Enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you amongst the heathens. And I will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Shabbats, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. So you see, even when we was in the land, even we was in the land where we were commanded to keep the Sabbath, we wasn't keeping the Sabbath. And how do I know we wasn't keeping the Sabbath? Because we wasn't even keeping the Sabbath of years. We weren't even letting the land rest on the seventh year as we was commanded to. We were just letting work be done, and we was tilling and toiling. And we were just overworking the land. Now Yah said he going to spew us out of the land, and then the land can enjoy her Shabbats, because it did not enjoy it when we was in the land. Now how are we going to return unto Yahweh? How are we going to truly delight in Yahweh's Sabbath if we haven't been keeping the Shabbat? And if we haven't been resting? If we just been moving and moving and moving, you think Yahweh going to reward you by bringing you into the land? No, because you're still not going to honor the land by giving it and keeping the Shabbats and letting it enjoy her Sabbaths. My people, this is not geometry or trigonometry. This is elementary stuff. Yahweh said, you return unto me, and I will return unto you. Well, how can we return unto Yahweh and you not be in rest? How can you return unto Yahweh and you not know that Yahweh is your habitation? Yahweh is your dwelling. Yahweh is encamped around us throughout the whole heavens, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. But let's continue reading. In verse 36, and it says, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send faintness into their hearts. In the land's enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee, like as the fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth, and they shall fall upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Yes, how do you think this happens? Because just like when you locked out of your house and you can't find your keys, it don't affect you in the first minute. May not affect you in the first 5 minutes. But after a while, you're going to get antsy. You're going to get panicky because now all of a sudden you're hearing sounds that you wasn't hearing 5 minutes before. You're seeing things move that you didn't see moving before. Why? Because now your confidence is chucking. Everything around you has become a weapon to slay you. And this is what happened when we have departed from the Most High. Even a shaken leaf is a threat to us. And we'll fall even though no man's pursuing. Why? Because as soon as we depart out of the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies of Yahweh, we have departed from our habitation. And now we have no security. No security at all. Now, you can get you some bodyguards and think you got security. You still don't have security. Because there is no better comfort. There is no better security than the true and living Elohim. And this is why Yahweh has commanded his people to return unto him so that we may serve him, so that we can dwell in our Abba's house, so we can dwell and be in the midst of our Abba. See, just like an Abba does, just like a father does, just like a husband does, and just like what Yahweh has set the example for. Where do you think Abbas and fathers get their instructions from? Yahweh. A man takes on a wife, brings her into his house, and lets her know, I love you. But there are some rules. You're going to be in my house. There's some rules that you have to go by. And the laws and statutes of this house, if you disobey them, there's consequences. And if these things are violated and the consequences fall upon you, you can't get mad at the husband. You was already told. Well, this is what Yahweh has done with the nation of Israel. Yahweh told you, I'm married unto you. Now, I'm going to bring you into my house, and you're going to dwell with me. But you got to be holy. And there's things that you have to do if you're going to habitate with me. And as soon as we started violating, and as soon as we start acting whorish, and as soon as we start getting out of pocket, Yahweh say, well, look, rather than to destroy you and consume you in the moment, I'll just scatter you out of my house. And now it don't matter where you live at, you homeless. If you don't have Yahweh, you homeless. I don't care if you got the biggest mansion. I don't care if you got a $25 million mansion. If you're not dwelling in the habitations of Yahweh, absolutely nothing. This is the only reason, this is the ways of how we are blessed. We could take the laws of Yahweh anywhere and be blessed. We could take the statutes of Yahweh anywhere and be blessed. We could take the testimonies of Yahweh anywhere and be blessed. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And what are we discussing this evening? The habitations of Israel. And our habitations are undoubtedly with Yahweh. That's our habitations. And we can take the blessings that Yahweh has given upon his people and go anywhere and be prosperous. Turn with me to in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, because we always go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and we always read about the curses. But the curses are a result of disobedience. The curses are a result for not following Yah. The curses are a result of not knowing that Yahweh is our habitation. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, I'm going to start reading the very first verse. Deuteronomy 28:1 reads, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that Yahweh thy Elohim will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So Yahweh said, if you just hearken unto me, you'll be higher than all nations of the earth. So does that mean when you step outside of the land of Canaan, you're useless, you weak, you feeble? No, because Yahweh is your habitation. But let's continue reading. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim. Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, and blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. And Yahweh shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And Yahweh shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses and all that thou hast set of thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which Yahweh thy Elohim give thee. Yes, Yahweh said, look, these blessings will be upon you anywhere you go, because you'll be higher than all nations on the face of this earth. And these blessings will be commanded by your Elohim. Your storehouses will be blessed. Your dwellings will be blessed, because Yahweh said, I will give you the land that I promised unto your forefathers. And you should dwell, and you should be my people, and I will be your Elohim. It's not the land that made us special. It's not us going by our own government that made us special. It was us having the land given to us by our Elohim, and our government being handed to us by our Elohim. That's what made it special. It was Yahweh. It was not us. It was not our swords. It was not our fighting skills. It was not our gold and silver. It was not our garments. Because all of that was given from Yahweh. Why? Because Yahweh is our habitation. And you could go over to the land of Canaan right now and see if you'll be blessed. You could go to the islands right now and see if you'll be blessed. The only way that you will be is if Yahweh is with you. But if Yahweh is not with you, then there's no way that you're going to prosper in any way that you go. Because Yahweh is your true habitation. So why people say, man, we can't keep the laws until we get into the land. Man, Yahweh is my habitation. The land means absolutely nothing if Yahweh is not there. To show you this, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. You have people today, they live in their own land, and they still being ruled under the rulership of the heathens. They got houses. Their houses are being ruled by the rulership of the heathens. But Yahweh said, when I severed you from all families of the face of this earth. And Yahweh said this in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter. In 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 5, it reads, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city amongst all the tribes of Israel to build a house, and that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Yes, what makes Jerusalem special is that the name of Yahweh is there. And what makes it special is Yahweh done set us a king, and that's King David. And what made King David so special? Yahweh said that King David had a heart like unto him. This is what makes it special. It's the statutes and judgments of Yahweh, not just the land on its own. Because if the name of Yahweh is not there, then it makes no protection. It don't matter how beautiful the houses are. It don't matter how much water is flowing there. If the Yahweh is not there, then it's not blessed. And I don't want to be anywhere where my Elohim is not. It's not healthy for my well-being, and it's not healthy for my people's well-being. For us to habitate and dwell anywhere where Yahweh is not. And if you're not keeping the laws of Yahweh, you're not keeping the Sabbath, you're not confirming the words and testimonies of Yahweh, then Yahweh's not your habitation. Yahweh is not your dwelling. Yahweh is not with you. Yes, Yahweh is not with you if you teach it that we must rebel against him. And I don't care how many buildings you set up and what you call it. You can call it the house of Israel. You can call it the house of Yahweh. If Yahweh is not with you, then that place bears no salvation to the people, nor to yourself. How do I know this? How do I know that Yahweh is our habitation? How do I know that in order to establish a sanctuary, that Yahweh has to be with you? Well, simply because of this. In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, I'm going to begin reading. I'm going to read the 16th verse. And let's read it. It reads, "Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, although I have cast them far off amongst the heathens, and although I have scattered them amongst the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come." Yahweh said that he will be to the righteous that considers. He will be to his people, seek righteousness and meekness that seek him. He will be a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Now, what will Yahweh be a little sanctuary unto you for? And you not resting. You not keeping his laws. You not confirming none of his testimonies. You're not even acknowledging the Most High, but he a little sanctuary unto you. No, this is an outright abomination. The only way Yahweh will be a little sanctuary unto you is if you seeking him. If you seeking his words, you seeking his statutes, you seeking his testimonies, you seeking his judgments, you seeking his commandments, you seeking Yahweh. Because Yahweh is our habitation. Yahweh is our dwelling quarters. And Yahweh said that he will be unto us a little sanctuary. So you could buy the biggest building. And you could have the pews paved with gold. But if Yahweh is not with you, then that's truly not a place of holiness. Because what makes it holy? Yahweh makes it holy. And those that have set themselves apart to Yahweh is what makes that holy. So it's Yahweh and his holy people. But Yahweh's holy people know that our dwellings, Israel should know that our dwellings, our habitations is with Yahweh. Is with Yahweh. You'll ask some people, we can keep the laws and when we in the land, right? And they'll say yes. But like, well, what if you outside of the land? You may be on a journey. Yahweh may have sent you on the journey. And you in another land, can you keep the Sabbath there? Well, I don't know. Well, you only don't know because Yahweh not your habitation. Because everywhere you go, Yahweh with you. And if you righteous, you know this. If you have eyes that can see, you know this. If you have ears that can perceive and hear, you know this. And you know that everywhere the righteous go, Yahweh was with them. Just like he was with Abraham. Just like he was with Yosef, just like he was with King David, and just like he will be with you if you with him. That's why it says Yahweh is with you while you be with him. But if you forsake Yah, he will forsake you. Because Yahweh is your habitation. And Yahweh knew, and the servants of Yahweh, they know this. They have a full grasp on this. One of Yahweh's righteous servants knew this. King David. And he made a psalm that's so beautiful. It's one of the most quoted psalms in the scriptures. Whether you know that you Israel or whether you don't. It's one of the most quoted scriptures. As soon as you start quoting, people start saying it with you. And that's in the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter. In the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter, and the very first verse, it reads, Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his holy name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Because this is where righteousness, this is where goodness and mercy is dwelling, right with Yahweh. And this is what Yah's servant know. And this is what Yah's servant must get a grasp of now. And why is this relevant? Because we have a lot of dark times ahead of us. A dark time is coming. You can listen to the news. You can listen to your various Knessets. You can listen to your preachers, your pastors, your Morays, your Kohanes, that'll tell you, man, surely calamity not going to come upon you. All you need is some knives and some camping equipment and some bandages, and you'll be saved out of this. I'm here to tell you that some dark times are rapidly coming to befall us. And if we don't know, and if we don't consider that Yahweh is our habitation, then we will just be consumed in a moment. Because our minds, our hearts must be fixed on Yahweh. They must be fixed on Yahweh. And if it's not going to be you, then who? You waiting for the other nations to get it right? You looking for the other nations to smarten up and straighten up their act when Yahweh's people, who has his laws, statutes, and judgment, isn't even straightening up? But we don't even know that Yahweh is our habitation? That we dwelling in the house of Yahweh our Elohim? And Yahweh's anger because of how we acted and behaving ourselves in his house? Oh, no, people. We must have wisdom and understand that our habitation is with Yahweh. Our dwellings is with Yahweh. And Yahweh is letting us know he's with us. And he has carried us through this whole plight, even though we don't even know who the Most High is. People have no problems or no hesitation approaching the Most High. People have no hesitation with speaking great words against the Most High. Why? Because they don't know him. And you may say, well, Brother Obadiah, that's a bold statement. How do you know our people don't know the Most High? Well, because the Most High said we don't know him. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter. It's like when someone asks you for your identification and you show them your ID. Now, picture showing someone your ID without a name, without an address, without any information on there. It just got a picture of you on it. They're going to say, man, this is not no legitimate identification. I don't know anything about you. So how you going to say you were serving the Yahweh, but you at the baseball game on the Sabbath day? You out playing flag football on the Sabbath day. You out chasing skirts. Now, people looking at you like, I thought you supposed to be a servant of Yah. What you doing out here chasing skirts with me? Well, he said we can't keep the Sabbath in captivity. Well, you got to show me that. Well, I'll show you after we get done making this play. This is outright foolishness. And Yahweh said this in the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter. And the 4th verse. He said, for Yaakov, my servant's sake, and for Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And then he repeats it again in verse 5. He says, I am Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no Elohim besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. So Christ did nothing for you. The Islamic deity did nothing for you. The Canaanite deities did nothing for you. The Rastafarian deities did nothing for you. Yahweh and Yahweh alone has girded us, though we have not known it. We don't even know for where our blessings come from. We don't even know the various mercies that Yahweh show upon us each day. And we just let day unto day pass without even knowing who's given us the Ruach of life. And that's Yahweh. And no wonder Yahweh said that the righteous that stay in the land will live forever. Why? Because Yahweh will be in the midst of his people. We will be around the giver of life. We will be habitating with the source of life himself, Yahweh. See how it's so vital to know where your habitations is and where your true habitations are? It's not in your various cities, your communities, but your habitation is with Yahweh. So now you can get a bigger grasp and a bigger picture to know it's bigger than just you and me. You won't pull yourself from where the praises of Yahweh is being given because Yahweh is your habitation. You won't refuse to talk to your brothers and sisters because Yahweh is your habitation. You won't run down to the court system and file for divorce and get a divorce so quickly because you'll know Yahweh is your habitation. You won't abuse your children because you know Yahweh is your habitation. We won't abuse ourselves because when we grasp that Yahweh is our habitation, then it will be a complete revolution. A complete revolution. But if we don't know our habitations, then we won't consider. We won't consider at all. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. Because our people are waiting. They say, man, if there's a God, how is he letting this happen? If there's a God, I got to talk to him. I got some questions for him. And let me tell you something. If you think you got a question that's hard for the Most High, you out of your mind. The only question that's hard for the Most High is him fathoming is where you getting these idols you serving. Because Yahweh says there are Elohim besides me, and I know not any. Now where you getting this cat from? Where this fella coming from that you praising? But as far as approaching Yahweh about righteousness, about meekness, about mercy, about judgment, man, we couldn't even approach the Most High in a millisecond. And Yahweh has already addressed this in his testimony in the book of Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. I'm going to start reading at the fifth verse. In Jeremiah 51 and verse 5, it reads, "For Israel have not been forsaken, nor Yehuda of his Elohim, of Yahweh of hosts. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel." And then it says this, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of Yahweh's vengeance, and he will render unto her a recompense. And Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." So don't sit there and be confused and have Babylon have you thinking that you was already here and that you've been dwelling here and that you was ruling here and just some nations came in and gave you a Bible and now all of a sudden the land is taken from you. Don't fall for this foolishness. It says the whole earth has drunken. Babylon is fallen. Because it is drunken from the golden cup in Yah's hand. And it made all the earth drunken. So all the earth is drunken. All the earth is confused. They can't tell you about you because they can't even tell you about themselves. Because they drunken. But Yahweh let you know. Israel hasn't been forsaken. Neither Yehuda. Even if the land was filled with sin. Yahweh still said, he hasn't forsaken us. And then he said, flee out of the midst of Babylon. And a lot of us think that that means physical fleeing. Get your stuff and go. Go to the islands. Go to the various islands, man. Go back to the land of Canaan. No, when Yahweh say flee out of the midst of Babylon, Yahweh is saying get Babylon's way and ideology off of you. Stop thinking that I haven't seen your actions. Stop thinking that I haven't been witnessing to your sin that you've been committing. Thinking that I haven't paid attention to your actions. Get Babylon's way of thinking off of you and start thinking holy. Because once you start being holy, then maybe you'll start acting holy. And once you start acting holy, you'll start realizing that you're holy. And once you start realizing that we're holy, now we can dwell in our righteous habitation. And that's with Yahweh. This is the goal that Yahweh has planned for his people. This is what Yahweh has purposed for his people. So you can get your mind straight off of just thinking that it's Jerusalem. That it's just the land of Canaan. Yahweh is your habitation. And Yahweh has given us his laws. Yahweh has given us his testimonies. And Yahweh said, don't forsake them. Don't forsake them for a moment. Because the moment we forsake them and start seeking after other gods and seeking after other books, then what we start doing is we start getting eviction notices on our habitation. Now we're getting kicked out of our habitation. Now we're being moved away from our Elohim. And once you moved away from your Elohim, you'll start seeing that these other gods, they serve you no purpose. They bring you no salvation. They bring you absolutely no justice. And to prove this, turn with me to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. Because if you have many people that's now taken on the religion of Christianity, and they say, well, look, Yahweh, that's your God, but I serve another God. Well, if your God come out of this New Testament, look at what your God is instructing you to do. In the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, and the very first verse, it reads, and this is speaking to everybody, because it starts off with saying, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. But whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So this is what your book is telling you. It's saying, look, Trump, that was set up by God. So if you resist Trump, you resisted the ordinances of God, and the only thing you're going to bring to yourself is damnation. Now, this is what your book is telling you. So what is all these Christians doing outraged? What is all these Baptists, Methodists, Unitarians, Episcopalians, all these Christians outraged at this fool? And they'll tell you, I didn't vote for him. Man, he cheated to get in office. Well, however he got in office, according to your doctrine, it says that they were set up by God, which is not an incorrect statement, because Yahweh rules in the kingdom of man, and he sets up whomsoever he will, and he sets up over it the basis of man. But the second part of that statement is just outright foolishness, because it says that he that resisteth this power resists of God and is promised damnation. Well, tell Daniel this, because Daniel resisted. Tell the three Hebrew brothers this, because they resisted. Tell Moses this, because he resisted. And they were all delivered. Because if you're going to stand for something, then stand for your Elohim. Stand for your habitation. If you want justice, then go to the habitation of justice. You want judgment, then go to the habitation of justice. You want righteousness, then go to the habitation of righteousness. You want to be meek, then let us go to the house of the habitation of meekness. And all of this dwells with Yahweh. And this is why Yahweh is commanding us to do these things. Because Yahweh said, when you go in these ways that I've commanded you, then you're going to find me. Then you will be able to habitate with the true and living Elohim. And Yahweh still delights in his people. Regardless of what we're going through today, regardless on how smeared we've been as a nation, Yahweh still delights in his people. But Yahweh just not going to tolerate foolishness. And Yahweh's not going to tolerate us acting just any type of way. He's given us his laws. So that means he's given us a standard. Just like a father gives their children a standard to be in their house. Just like a husband will give his wife a standard to be in his house. Well, our husband has given us a standard to dwell and be with him. Yahweh says that we got to keep these laws, statutes and judgments, these commandments. And he didn't cut them off and say, keep 9 commandments. Keep the laws only except when it comes to this book. You don't have to do that. No, the only book Yahweh told us to seek out of is his book. So we are to confirm all of his laws and all of his testimonies because we are witnesses for Yahweh. And how can you be a good witness and you haven't even been habitating with your Elohim? This is why most of us don't witness for the Most High, because we don't know the first thing about Yahweh. But Yahweh is saying, look, just return unto me and I'll return unto you. It's not too late to return unto the true and living Elohim. We just have to humble ourselves, and we have to hearken to the words of Yahweh. Yahweh said this in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, it reads, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Yahweh said, look, you have a spiritual habitation and you have a physical habitation. And your physical habitation will be healed once you get your spiritual habitation in order. And our habitation is with Yahweh. This is why we must humble ourselves. This is why we must pray and seek the face of our Elohim and turn from our wicked ways so that Yahweh will hear us from heaven and will forgive our sins and heal our land. A full 360 degree restoration of Yahweh's people. And Yahweh not going to do this halfway, because Yahweh is not a halfway Elohim. Yahweh does everything in completion. Yahweh does everything in totality. Yahweh has the beginning and the end to everything that he's done, because through all of Yahweh's works, they were established by judgment. And Yahweh is saying, return back to your habitations. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 3rd verse. And Yahweh said this, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hands of thy Elohim. And thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hezbollah, and thy land Beulah, for Yahweh delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And Yahweh said, for as a young man marrieth a maiden, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over thee, over the bride, so shall thy Elohim rejoice over you. And Yahweh is saying this, I will rejoice over my people. But in order to get right with the land physically, we must first get right with our habitations spiritually and return unto Yahweh. But we have to return unto Yahweh in humility and humble ourselves. We can't return unto Yahweh with arrogance and anger, because Yahweh will just consume us in a moment. But when we return unto the Most High, now whether we do this voluntarily or involuntarily, we're going to return unto Yahweh one way or another, because this matter has to come to a conclusion. But Yahweh's given us the opportunity to get ourselves right. And Yahweh said in the same chapter, verse 6, Yahweh says that I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of Yahweh, keep not silence and give him no rest until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This is where Yahweh said, look, you know who I am. Now do righteousness and don't give me no rest until I make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And why is it important that Jerusalem be a praise in the earth? Because that's where Yahweh's name is placed. And this is where Yahweh's people are. So how could it not be a praise in the earth? And why should it not be a praise in the earth? Because Israel should know that our habitation is Yahweh and Yahweh alone. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 22nd verse. Ezekiel 34 and 22 reads, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and Yahweh will be their Elohim, and my servant David a prince amongst them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Why? Because Yahweh hasn't forsaken his people. It said he has still given us a road to salvation, a road back to redemption. And even when we do have a king, the chief is going to still be there. Yahweh is going to be there, because Yahweh is our habitation. Yahweh is the place that we need to be seeking. Yahweh is whom we need to be in the arms of. And Yahweh is whom we need to pursue after, because this is what Yahweh has ordained for his people, to be with him. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 137. And in the book of Psalms 137, I'm going to begin reading at the first verse. And it reads, by the river of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, and we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing Yahweh's song in a strange land? But if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. Yes, because once we start focusing on Yahweh and know that Yahweh is our habitation, know that Yahweh is where we need to be seeking to dwell and be in the arms and be in the midst of, then we'll know, look, man, let my right hand forget her cunning if I forget Jerusalem, because that's where our Elohim name is placed. And this is where Yahweh said our government will be established, And this is where Yahweh's people would be. This is why it's so imperative to know our habitations and know that Israel habitation is not the various cities that you're in. That's just physical. That's just something you can physically see and grasp. But our habitation is with your creator. Your habitation is with your Elohim. Your habitation is with Yahweh. Our habitation is with Yahweh. And last scripture in the book of Psalms, the 26th division. In the book of Psalms, the 26th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 8th verse. And it reads, Yahweh, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. And my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless Yahweh, my people. This is the habitation of which we are to dwell. We are to dwell within the midst of the true and living Elohim. So while you're in captivity and while we're here, then let's do what Yahweh has commissioned us to do. Not to please man, not to please ourselves, but to please Israel's true habitation, and that's Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Yahweh has been pleading, and Yahweh has been petitioning, and Yahweh has been sending his servants to commission, command his people that Yahweh has told us and commanded us that we need to return back home, return to our Elohim. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.
One, broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof, then the knowledge what we do.